Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back, Richard. We've got a very interesting topic today. And it's from an article that was published at a JAMA Network. JAMA, of course, is a journal of the American Medical Association. So it's jamanetwork.com. The link's in the show notes. But this is a very long article that we would really encourage you to check out and read, because it is all about cognitive enhancing drugs. And it's cognitive enhancing drugs. We're really talking about medications. But I think that they call it drugs because, you know, we call all kinds of medications drugs. But I think that the use of the word drugs often has a negative connotation.
Right.
And I think that they went ahead and used it here because we're really talking about the use of these medications off-label in ways that they're not necessarily prescribed for.
That's right. Each medication is designed for a specific disorder.
Right.
But once it's approved for one disorder, physicians are allowed to prescribe it for other things.
Right. And they call that off-label.
That's off-label.
So a lot of these medications are used off-label. And the ones in particular that they're talking about here are the methylphenidate medications, which include Ritalin, and this other medication called Provigil, which is a non-amphetamine-based medication, again, used for wakefulness, alertness, that actually, again, that we were talking about this before we started recording. It's the way that I initially learned about Provigil was that it was a medication that was designed sort of with the medical professionals in mind for people who are working those long, you know, 24 plus hour shifts, and they need to be alert and awake throughout the night, but they didn't want to take amphetamine based medications. And so they developed this. It's modafinil is the generic, but Provigil is the trade name. And there's a new one called a newer version or adaptation of it called Nuvigil. So this study was all about those medications and their interesting use again off label to perhaps enhance cognitive skills.
Right. Yeah, they meant for increased alertness and wakefulness for people like us who, if you work long hours, you wear down over the course of the day,
and
we'll drink soft drinks or we'll drink coffee and we'll rely on caffeine, and sometimes it just isn't enough. I mean, I don't know how you are with caffeine, but there's a point beyond which caffeine has no effect on me. The first cup or two of coffee will create some alertness, but four cups doesn't get me anywhere far, anything beyond two cups. So for people who work these long hours, and physicians are notoriously long hours at work, especially during residency. So if you're working 16, 18, 20, or a nurse, you're doing a double shift, you know, so you're working 16 hours. As you do that, you eventually wear down. So we all know the need for, or the desire for something like this. So we create these medications for wakefulness, and suddenly we discover that you get enhanced cognitive performance when you take these medications. Or that's the suspicion, that's the feeling.
And of course, it's really important to be studying this, because we know that there is this increased prevalence of, like, college students, you know, getting prescriptions for Adderall and Ritalin and some of those medications to help them on, you know, during midterms and finals and things like that. We know that there are, a number of people, and in the article they talk about, you know, chess players and, you know, people who are engaging in deep thought types of, cognitively strenuous activities. I really like that they mention researchers, you know, people who are in the, they refer to it as publish or perish mentality of university work, where you have to work long hours because you know, if you're not getting papers written and you're not getting these research studies done, then you will not be able to, you know, get tenure and to continue at the university. So you know, it talked about people in these types of situations using these medications as a way to, well, we're just going to say enhance cognitive skills. But, you know, a lot of times I think people traditionally use it just to be more alert and to be more alert and more focused.
More focused and engaged and, right. you know, you can maintain your energy, your cognitive right. energy. You mentioned college students
right.
Taking other individuals' mm-hmm. stimulant medications.
Right.
We know that Adderall, for example, is being abused. And I had always thought, when you think about it, you're thinking that it's for, I'm going to take my roommate's medication, mm-hmm. and that will keep me more alert. It'll keep me more awake. I don't have to sleep as much. I don't take as many breaks because now I have this medication in me that gives me extra energy.
Right.
Until I read this, I hadn't thought about the specific cognitive enhancements
right.
that those medications also provide.
Right.
And you mentioned Provigil or you know, there's a condition called narcolepsy
right.
where people,
right.
you're tired and you fall asleep
unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm. And so the medication's great for that.
Right.
It keeps you awake. But then we discover that, well, actually, it has these... It enhances your cognitive performance. It doesn't just keep you awake,
mm-hmm.
but it has this cognitive effect.
Right.
And that is also what these students are after, is that increased cognitive effect.
Right.
Not a generalized arousal,
right.
but actually it helps me make decisions.
Yeah.
It helps me organize my thinking.
Right. Well, you know, and I think what's fascinating about it is that, you know, people talked about it, and you know, college students would tell you, you know, that's why I use it, but there wasn't really any,
that's why I use it. Why?
For that enhanced cognitive, because it makes me think better. It makes me,
right.
you know, it helps
mm-hmm.
me remember the you know, for tests and
right.
things like that. It helps me study, but there hasn't really been many studies that sort
right.
of, you know, proactively looked at
mm-hmm.
that effect, and so. In this article, they talk about some studies that did just that.
And they're done in another country.
Right, in Germany.
I wonder
right?
if we could do... I'm not sure that we could... I guess we could do these studies in this country,
probably.
But I'm not sure.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, you'd have to have a lot of IRB approvals.
Yeah.
But this was done in Germany, and I love the way they set this study up.
Right.
Because
right.
they used chess players.
Right.
But they used chess players who were expert chess players.
Right. Well, they used chess players because they discovered in a survey...
Right.
that a bunch of chess players, well,
right.
we say a bunch. And you know, I think that the numbers, when you look at the numbers, it's, I think it's more than you would expect. I don't know that it's...
I was surprised.
It's not a number that's like, oh my gosh, you know 90% of chess players...
If you play chess,
right.
If you play chess, you use drugs.
Right.
Right.
So it was about 10% of chess players who responded to this survey
mm-hmm.
said that they have used... these types of medications in the past to enhance their thinking skills and abilities
in tournaments,
during tournaments,
in competition.
Yeah,
you know. So then immediately that little flag
nobody
goes up.
Nobody would have
say,
ever thought about testing for doping in chess tournaments,
right? They don't do that.
No,
right? It's not the Olympics.
It's because chess tournaments aren't usually on ESPN.
Well, and the other thing that this did is, as I'm reading this, because I did some work with Major League Baseball for performing enhancing
mm-hmm.
drugs. We talk about performance enhancing drugs
mm-hmm.
that are banned in every sport
mm-hmm.
at every level.
Right.
These are cognitive enhancing drugs.
Right.
And so you wonder about the parallels.
Well, you know, in our work with Major League Baseball and with some of the other professional sports.
Other sports, right.
You know, even some of these medications that are cognitive enhancing medications, you know, if we're, that's what we're calling them right now.
Right.
You know, you have to go through a lot of hoops to be able to take Ritalin
right.
as a baseball player.
That's right. Because these same drugs are banned mm-hmm. in most from college,
right.
probably from high school on, but certainly from college on.
Without,
these are banned substances.
Without specific... You know, again...
Assessments and
yeah.
permission and knowledge. You know, everybody knows that you are taking
right.
these and you're tested regularly to make
mm-hmm.
sure you're not taking too much or other things. Right,
right. right. Yeah, so it's very
So these are banned in sports, but they're not banned
right.
in chess and other competitions.
And my assumption is that they just probably wouldn't have even thought that they would have needed to, you know...
I think about music competitions.
Right.
To professional musicians, you know, when you're competing
mm-hmm.
for prize money
mm-hmm.
or for acceptance into Juilliard or those very high, high prestige schools? Are people using cognitive enhancing drugs during the competitions?
Right.
Because they're not tested.
That's right. So they got this, but they also did a proactive study. So they call it a prospective study, where they took these expert German chess players, and they were like, let's see if these medications have an effect on them. So they took the chess players, they had them compete, and they gave some of them the cognitive enhancing drug. I think it was they used Provigil, right? Mm-hmm. So they used Provigil, and the other group did not get Provigil, surprisingly, or maybe not so surprisingly.
Right. You will not be surprised to learn
that the group who took Provigil won more matches.
They won more.
Mm-hmm. Now, they said that when they lost, oftentimes they lost because of time. That they took too long to make their decisions, but usually their decisions were pretty good because they won more matches.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know, chess is a game that you have to make your moves within a certain amount of time.
Right. Yeah.
There's a timer.
Most of us play chess recreationally without timers. Right. Thankfully, that would not be good.
Right. Wouldn't be good for me, especially.
Well, let's just get this done.
That's
you know.
Right. But you'd have a 3-second timer, right?
Let's try it. Let's go. Okay. Let's see how fast we can win. So what these guys would do is the group that was taking the modafinil or the Provigil, they would take longer to make their decisions, but they tended to win. Right. And so again, we have, I think, about our first real, sort of the first real study that looked at these types of drugs as cognitive enhancers for making decisions and all. So that's a huge step.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge position to be in because now we're having discussions about what are we doing with these medications and what can we do with these medications.
And we have always worried about college students taking other people's medications.
Right.
But man, if it has this kind of if it provides this sort of cognitive advantage, it's going to be very difficult to convince students that now you really shouldn't be doing this, because most students are going to say it's worth the risk.
Right.
Whatever harm I might be doing, whatever risk I might be taking, it's worth it because it gives me an advantage that I would not otherwise have.
Right. Yeah. And
that'd be a hard sell.
And this stretches to lots of other areas because, you know, one of the things that I really like that they put in here is that one of the researchers on these studies said that their hypothesis was that while these medications may help some people, that they're probably not very effective on people who are already top performers. They found that that's just not true.
That was the alarming part of this, because these chess players were experts. They had already achieved proficiency.
Right.
So they were enhancing expert performance.
They were getting better than they were already
than
were,
they were,
even though they were already the best.
Right.
And the other thing is that, again, it kind of extends out. They found that, 20% of German surgeons admitted to using some of these medications.
That's right. This isn't new.
Right. So it's
among those who have access, which would be physicians who can write prescriptions, but also college students who can take each other's medications.
Yeah.
So if you have access, you may be doing this.
Yeah. So it's fascinating. And, you know, we don't know where this is going to go. We don't know that there's necessarily going to be this.
They call it cosmetic neurology or something.
Something like that, yeah. But it makes me think of that movie. Did you see the movie Limitless?
You always have to ask.
That's right.
Yeah. Just to embarrass me in public.
There's been a couple of sort of iterations of that movie, but basically, there's a medication you take, and it really enhances all of your abilities, primarily your thinking abilities and things like that. And you know, who knows if this is sort of one of those steps moving in a direction to try to really maximize our cognitive skills.
I have this vague recollection of fighter pilots in World War II were given amphetamines. One of the countries gave their pilots amphetamines because they were doing long hours, and quick shifts. Like the fighter pilots in England, they would come back, they'd sleep for a couple of hours, and they're back in the air.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
these guys are shooting at each other while they're flying airplanes. Speaking of stress, but one of those countries, and I don't know which one it was, I think gave pilots amphetamines of some type.
That's interesting. It would make sense, though.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, I think that my overall thoughts about this is that, you know, I have a hard time believing that anything can increase your capacity more than your sort of inherent capacity.
More than you're able.
Right. I don't think...
The chess players did.
I don't think it... No, the way that I think about it is that it's not that it made them better. It removed whatever additional distractors there may have been. It maybe helped them, you know, get more focused, which maybe is why it took them longer to make the decisions. But they were able to focus in and sort of...
Yeah, what are you really buying?
Right. I don't think it's... You know, if we've talked before about nature versus nurture when it comes to intelligence. And, right. and you're sort of born with a capacity. And that capacity has a range. There's sort of a... You know, critical range of right. in your that you're born with, and your experiences in life determine where on that range within that range you fall. I don't think that I don't think we're ever going to get to a place where there's going to be a medication or something that's going to exceed that top limit that you're
capable of. Range of there's a word for that, range of reaction or something.
Yeah, something like that.
So it's not going to take you beyond your range of reaction.
Right. Yeah. Because, I mean, even the world's best chess players, just as an example, I'm sure that they can look back and they would say, that was the best match I've ever played.
Right.
And they had that without ever taking a medication. And so maybe what these medications do is they allow access, more access to that focus and that drive and that motivation and everything that they had at that time.
It increases something that is already there.
Yeah,
right.
That's what I think.
But it's only going to increase it to their limit.
Right, right. Yeah, like you know, I tell that to college students when they do talk about using some of these medications. It's not going to make you smarter. It's going to give you more access. To
and
what's
more
already
energy.
There.
It will energize you. It will give you more cognitive horsepower, if you will. Another related question. In sports, if you use performance-enhancing drugs, you're known as a cheater.
Right.
Now in baseball, if you did steroids, whatever record you may have set, you have a little asterisk beside your name because you used performance-enhancing drugs, and you're known as a cheater. In the Olympics, people lose medals.
Right,
Lance Armstrong.
Yeah,
you know, with the cycling. Is it cheating? Would the use of cognitive enhancing drugs be considered cheating for a college student, for a physician, for a chess player?
You want my personal opinion? Is that what you're asking?
Absolutely.
My personal opinion is no.
You're not cheating.
No, because the difference is that the doping and things that we see in physical steroids and things like that is that does result in a person exceeding what their body is naturally capable of. I mean, if you look at some of the pictures of some of these people that we know used, you see pictures of them before and pictures of them after. And there is a clear physical difference. I don't think that these medications give you anything more than what you already have. It just gives you more access to what you already have.
During the steroid epidemic in Major League Baseball, at one point, Barry Bonds, who's been accused of, because he physically changed his body, taking steroids, he said, it doesn't increase my bat speed, and it doesn't increase my eye-hand coordination.
Right.
I still have to hit... He didn't say that. One of the broadcasters said that it doesn't enhance his ability to hit a baseball.
Right.
It might increase his strength, but it doesn't increase his hitting ability.
Right, right.
So is it cheating?
But it does make a pitcher throw faster. It does make you... True. Would make you throw the ball farther. It does... increase your swing speed, not necessarily...
And strength.
And your strength. So, you know, if you're talking about the number of home runs...
Right.
That would be an important...
The number of times you hit the ball probably doesn't change.
Right.
The number of times you hit the ball far may change.
And so, I think it's interesting using that as a perfect example. it doesn't change their cognitive skills, the hand-eye coordination, for example. That would be a cognitive process. Mm-hmm. It doesn't change that.
But their because visual abilities to see the ball mm-hmm. and to know where it's going to be, the right. physics of the baseball.
Right. That cognitive aspect of it remains pretty consistent.
Right.
It's the physical aspect that changes because of the enhancement of the drugs that makes them better.
Interesting question. Yeah, would it be cheating?
It is interesting. Hmm. So...
But here's the other thing, though. When we say it's not cheating, now, if I'm a 19-year-old college student, mm-hmm. and I hear us say, yeah. it's not cheating, we're not saying it's harmless. Are we?
We don't know. And that's what the researchers said, is that right. we don't have long-term studies that show the effect of these medications on healthy individuals.
Because we know that healthy individuals who take amphetamines can become addicted, right. physiologically addicted.
Right.
Less likelihood if you really have ADHD.
Right.
But if you don't, if you're healthy, normal, and you start tinkering with amphetamines, mm-hmm. they can become highly addictive.
Absolutely.
So there is some risk involved, mm-hmm. but we don't know what that risk is yet. We haven't done enough studies.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, fascinating area.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So, right. but again, it's a long article. Definitely encourage you to get in there and read it because it's there's just tons of information in there. So.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I like this one a lot. It was again a lot of new territory, new soil to be mm-hmm. tilled. So, mm-hmm. well worth it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, that's it then for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.